Miss a show. All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Remember, again, tomorrow you can see Sylvie at Stony Point Grill in Mokina, 7 to 9. And then Friday, Chris, do you know where you can see Sylvie at from 6:30 to 8:30?
I'm going to go to McGee's and see Sylvie.
In Lincoln Park. You can win passes to the Fantasy Football Convention. We'll give this another spin before we get out of here at 6 o'clock. Before we get to Florida or Ohio, I just wanted to know if you saw the latest Dan Campbell thing. Like,
he drinks a lot of coffee.
I don't get a rat's ass. Like, I mean, like, maybe it's not even worthy to talk about. Like, all the kneecap biting and the up-downs and practice. It's like, maybe his goal is to, and Dan had a nice career as a player, too. Now he's in charge of the Detroit Lions. He's the head coach of the Lions. Maybe what he is doing is drawing all the attention to him because his team's going to stink. So he's taking all the focus off his team and making everyone go, look at me. I drink a lot of coffee.
Right, right.
With a lot of espresso in it. We bite kneecaps around here.
Suggesting he's plotting. He's playing chess while we're playing checkers.
I don't know, but doesn't it?
Or he may not have any clue of what he's doing. Because that could be the other option is that he has no idea what he's doing, first time head coach, and this is his idea of being like relatable to the players, to this generation's players.
I would say to you, I mean, just from personal experience, and I'm an old guy now, but I don't know that that is relatable behavior. Look at me, we're going to bite kneecaps, and I drink a lot of coffee with espresso. And like, I guess in the day and age of social media, this is something that goes around and everyone gets a chuckle out of, but like, I'm more convinced now than ever that they're kind of lost at sea.
When you played, how did you respond to guys like that in the locker room?
I just, guys that had a look at me.
Also like the meathead, hardo type of dude who like, yeah, because that's the way Dan Campbell comes across.
Like the guy headbutting the helmet without a helmet on.
Yeah. Let's roll football.
Well, it depended. It depended on who the person was. Because I like to see our buddy Mongo. He used to take his head and bang it against a locker.
That's true.
And then Mongo would go out and play like a Hall of Famer.
Right.
So it's different.
It's
like,
difference on the skill level.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it's just a guy doing it, you just like, dude, you're going to hurt yourself. You know? But I don't know. I just found it weird. It's like the whole, are you just trying to take the attention away from your bad football team? Or is this like, this is going to be a thing all year long? I guess people are going to be intrigued and tune in to the press conferences for the Lions.
He's the only interesting aspect of the team. Their quarterback's not interesting.
Jared Goff. You know, Kenny Galladay's not there anymore. Marvin Jones isn't there anymore. Didn't they draft Penei Sewell? So, like, I think they did a nice job reestablishing their offensive line. But, like, I don't look at the Lions as a threat to anyone in the division at this point. Maybe I may be looking back 3 years from now and say, wow, Dan Campbell was the best thing that ever happened to the Detroit Lions. Right now, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you, 100%.
You want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals.
Booyah!
Random stabbings.
Sir,
or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery.
Sir!
Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
By the way, that was one of the more entertaining would you rather questions in a long time. What was it?
Booyah!
Would you rather have your eyebrows consistently move up and down to the Rocky theme? Or what was the other option?
Just randomly shouting booyah throughout your life.
That you couldn't control. What would you choose, Eric?
Oh man,
I think the booyah would be fun.
And like,
yeah, be the booyah guy. Yeah.
Imagine being at a funeral or something. Booyah!
That's what Chris said. We're gathered here today to
booyah!
It was a pretty, like, between that and Abdallah Sanity found on Twitter, like, somewhere, you know, the suggestion that maybe for the Olympics next time, yes. you just like the draft, you are contacted, and they say, Chris Black, you have to report.
Report the duty for steeplechase.
Exactly.
All right. I guess I'm going to hurdle and jump into some water.
We had this long conversation. What event do you think you could actually participate in that you had the best chance of not making a complete ass of yourself? I said springboard.
Springboard?
Yeah, I said springboard. Diving, yeah.
That's bold.
And Ben Abdallah put a meme out there or a GIF last night of
a long jumper?
A long jumper who tripped into the pit and said that was me.
Am I the only one that doesn't get how long jumpers jump?
I used to be a long jumper.
Could you do the full contort where your legs are then out in front of your body?
Well, what you want to do is land sideways.
Yes.
You do this thing with the legs. You're like, out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never tried that.
You should.
I don't have a sand pit to go do it in.
Just do it.
You don't have to have a sand pit.
Go find it in the volleyball court. Yeah.
I wonder how far I could jump. Aren't you guys interested to know how far you could jump? What if you could do it really far? Untapped potential.
What's really far?
No, I mean, like, what if you went like 10 feet?
A guy your age?
Yeah, you can do better than 10 feet.
Yeah.
Really? I can long jump 10 feet?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I could probably broad jump 7.5. No? 7 something?
You want to try it out?
Hold on.
Well, how much space do we have? Do we have enough space to jump in here? We got quite a bit of space. Well, Waddle is now jumping. And if you're watching on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago, you can actually see Waddle in the producer booth trying to jump. Here we go. Long jump. Here he goes.
That's a solid seven. Yeah.
That was 7 feet?
I think I pulled both my cameras.
Yeah. You okay? That's not right. Okay.
But that was a broad jump. I don't know about the long
jump. So with
jump.
A running start, how far
running
could you
start,
get?
Running start. So.
You guys are young. You could probably still do. I would say.
Do you remember your best, Waddle?
No. No.
Tyler, what was your best?
My best was, I think, 18.6.
I was going to say maybe 17.
Wow. That wasn't that good.
I was going to say about 17
that
feet.
Wow. That seems so far.
We have an Olympian in the room.
That's far from an Olympian.
What do the Olympians get?
I think they get like 27.
I'm converting kilometers and stuff right now. Hold on. I'll give you the answer.
You're looking up the meters. Okay, so we'll do it in meters. How many meters?
9 is the record.
Nine meters. So that's about 30 feet.
Okay. All right.
Can you imagine flying through the air? Mike Connolly's dad was an Olympic long jumper, right?
I believe so. I'd like to try it. I'd like to see how far I could jump.
You want a triple jump?
No.
That's a torn hamstring waiting to happen.
The coordination of that confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah.
The 1 foot, second foot thing, then off. I don't get that. Like, why is that a sport?
Eric, do you have a suggestion on what Olympic sport that if you were somebody
right, if they summoned
you
me.
Or summoned you to go to the next Olympics
like
that you
jury
feel,
duty, yeah.
Boy.
Yes, that's what it was. That you feel most comfortable in, that you would be least embarrassed to participate in and could actually do the best in.
That's so tough. Jeez.
Can you ride a horse?
I've never ridden a horse in my life. Okay. Never been on a horse ever. I'm fast, but like next to these dudes, that's embarrassing.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. I mean,
yours would be track.
So yeah. give me the 400, okay. Just so I could push it a little around farther than the short guys.
All right, there you go.
Boy, can you ride a horse? That's outstanding.
So maybe you would be an equestrian.
There's like ping pong, table tennis. Like we could all do that.
Oh my god!
Right?
Did you see the rally? Rally? That
yeah, it's incredible.
They play a different kind of ping pong than you and I play.
Oh, I know. I think they play table tennis.
We play ping pong.
Yes.
The easy response for me would be to run. I'm a runner, so like the 1500.
Yeah,
like,
you'd be fine.
Just have to learn how to run faster. That's just.
I watched a badminton as well. The women's badminton like a week or so ago. It's unbelievable what they can do with that thing.
I've got thoughts on the Olympics, Waddle. I feel like I'm the only person in this country watching the Olympics.
God, I watch so many, Chris. I love the Olympics.
Let's get to that, but I wanted to play a game earlier. Then I interrupted myself.
All right. Drunk man picks up kid from daycare, comes back to pick up kid from daycare again.
That's not good. What? This is not good.
Wait, is it probably one
of my high school
classmates. Is it his kid or is this kidnapping?
No. This is... Is this
a story about kidnapping or is this his kid?
The awful story got worse with Chris's suggestion that it was actual kidnapping.
A man is facing child neglect, all right?
Okay, all right, so it's his kid.
Man is facing child neglect and DUI charges after an incident Friday with
Tyler's
a stepchild.
Tyler's getting deep. Oh, this is a deep Florida, Ohio story. Fun.
Police said Reginald Horner picked up his kid from God's Little Creations daycare. Wasn't a concern until he returned a short time later looking to pick up the kid and told workers he didn't take the kid yet. So he wasn't sure where he was. Officers said Horner was showing signs of being intoxicated, so the daycare facility called the police. A missing child investigation was launched. And that was when police discovered that Horner took the kid to a business and forgot him there. Police found the child a short time later, and he was okay. And
thank God. I think Tyler lost the essence of Florida, Ohio. He got really serious and deep with us right there. I'm going to say that I hope that's not happening in the state of Ohio, my hometown, the Buckeye State. I'm going to go with, let's go with Tallahassee.
What was the name of the daycare?
God's Little Creations Daycare.
I'm going to go Florida.
God's Little, what was it?
God's Little Creations Daycare.
And Resort.
Resort. I'm going to go Florida.
I'll go Youngstown, Ohio.
It was Palatka, Florida.
Yeah, come on. Now, we don't do that, Eric, in the state of Ohio. No chance.
I mean, when he first said what the story was about, I was like, I hope this wasn't kidnapping.
Yeah, no, I know.
Was it his kid?
It got dark. That's one of the darkest stories we've had in quite some time.
You ever forget a kid, Waddle, somewhere?
That's a really good question. Have we ever? I've
you
left
have a
kid somewhere.
You've left a kid?
Yeah, I had a bunch
of them. Kid? My parents
I'm
left
sure
a kid
we did.
One time.
Yeah.
Tyler, like, were you the kid that
I was
left?
Not the kid, no. I was taken along for the ride. My sister was left.
I was like, oh, gosh, I left her at someone's house.
I feel like every kid's
like,
gone through the moment,
mall,
right?
Not in the mall.
Yeah. Yeah, every kid's gotten lost. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're in the mall, you're in the supermarket, mom walks away, you forget what you're doing, you look up, mom's gone, and then you panic for like 10 seconds, and then she's just right around the corner.
Yeah. Okay, we got dark. When we come back, let's do something less dark. You want to talk football?
Sure.
All right, we'll talk some football, and we'll get out of the... I don't know where we're at right now, but we'll find a happy place when we return.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Had some good Bears conversation with our buddy Dan Weider earlier in the show. Highlights, they're off today. Yesterday, first padded practice of the season out at Soldier Field. What we learned was Tevin Jenkins still not available to practice. Jermaine Ifedi still not available to practice with the hip flexor issue that he had with the conditioning deal. Elijah Wilkinson is out on the COVID list. I believe Eddie Goldman is also on the COVID list. James Daniels hurt a quad, I believe, yesterday. I think that's the extent of a lot that transpired. But some really good stuff from both quarterbacks. But overall, my biggest concern is their offensive line. None of their top three offensive tackles are available. And the preseason doesn't begin, or the preseason games don't start until a week from Saturday. But it's going to be very difficult to get ramped up and ready to go for the first game of the season if Tevin Jenkins continues to find himself on the sideline.
I totally agree with you, Waddle. And the thing is, the offensive line dictates the rest of the offensive flow from running the football and also keeping your quarterbacks upright. So if they can't figure this out before the season starts, I think there should be concern for everyone involved.
No doubt. Yeah, Tevin Jenkins, who has not had a practice yet, I don't believe Jermaine Ifedi has either. As I said, he had the hip flexor issues from the conditioning test. Wilkinson is now out on the COVID list.
Right.
And James Daniels, as I said, got hurt. I don't know how serious it is, but he was serious enough for him to leave practice yesterday. That's an enormous situation brewing right there.
Well, I want to remind you, the 16th annual Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite is coming up Saturday, August 21st at 115 Bourbon Street. How about this? The top fantasy player this season will win a brand new Janus motorcycle. Have you seen this thing, this motorcycle? It's fantastic.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And by the way, it's going to be on display tomorrow night at Sylvie's appearance in the Stony Point Grill in Mokena.
So go on out and see Sylvie, but you'll also see this Janice motorcycle. Yes. It'll be there. The convention also will feature special guest ESPN fantasy expert Field Yates, gambling advice from Mike North and Carmen DeFalco, a live fantasy football draft. It'll be a Bears preseason viewing party. The Bears and the Bills play on August 21st for preseason action. So we'll see Justin Fields against Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
All live right there at the fantasy football convention.
Wait a second. Over-under on Mitch Trubisky jerseys, I've set at 3.5.
Ironically, or they're wearing them as fans. Like,
whatever.
Half will have all 3.5 on.
Yeah, whatever. I'm right. Saying to you, whether they're Bills jerseys or there's
his guy
Bears jerseys, there will be the over-under. And I've got the over. There will be over 3.5.
Caps guy.
Mitch jerseys.
Trubisky. Tickets on sale now for $20 at ESPNChicagoFFC.com. The ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Convention starts at 8 a.m. on August 21st. Live music also from The Noise. They'll be there. All brought to you by PropSwap, Hooters, Bettenhausen Automotive, Janice Mark Motorcycle, and 3Chi. And it's presented by Miller Lite. So
that grand prize is going to be something special.
It's really cool. It's
beautiful.
Waddle, I have this. The 10 teams I'm looking at, win totals for gambling in the NFL season, win totals, over-unders, the 10 teams I'm keeping my eyes on.
Are these ones where you think you can make the most money, or the ones that where you think you have an advantage?
I'm looking at them as throughout training camp, I'm trying to keep my eyes on these teams and try and figure out whether or not we see something, some value there to take advantage of. So I want to ask you about these teams. Let's start off with the Tennessee Titans. Their win total in Vegas is set at 9 wins.
Over.
I think it's an over, too, which, you know, to get to 9 wins, you have to go 10-7. So you're telling me the best team in the AFC South can't get to 10 wins?
Well, at the very least, if I get 9 wins, I get a push, right?
Yep.
So like, last season, what were the Tennessee Titans last season? They were 11-5. They were the division champs. The Colts were also 11-5. They were the wild card team. Look, I mean, this Titans team to me is still the best team in the AFC South. Some may argue a healthy Carson Wentz may give the Colts an edge there. I am not one of those guys. The Titans in 2019 were also 9-7 as a playoff team. I'd go over.
I would, too.
And now, their defense was awful last year.
Sure.
But they've addressed the issue, obviously. Mike Vrabel, their head coach, is a defensive guy. You bring back Ryan Tannehill, who I can argue is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the National Football League. Derrick Henry was a leading rusher in the league last year.
I just don't think the AFC South is going to be won by a team with 9 wins. And that's why I think there's some value there if you take the over in that situation.
No, I like it. I would definitely play the over, the Tennessee Titans over 9. And again, you push at 9.
And think about the division, too. You're thinking probably, 5 or 6 wins in division for Tennessee.
Right. You got the Houston Texans. Lord knows what's going to transpire there. You got a brand new coach. You've got an issue at quarterback and a team that is in the process of being torn down and rebuilt. I would think that it's a pretty safe bet that they get 2 wins there. When you take on the Colts, you know, it depends early. They get the Colts in week 3. You don't know what the quarterback situation for the Colts is going to be. You get the Colts in week 3 and week 8.
Okay, so if
Carson Wentz, you may be able to get them without their starting quarterback in each of the, you know, in both of those.
If he's out for 12 weeks. Another team, 10 NFL teams over under win totals I'm keeping my eyes on, the Los Angeles Rams. They now have Matthew Stafford at quarterback. The win total is set at 10.5 games. I'm thinking the over because I think they can get to the 11-12 win range. They're that good.
It's, to me, it's the most competitive division in the National Football League. And I don't think it's even close. I mean, you can't argue the AFC West because the Raiders never, ever exceed expectations.
No.
I love the Chargers quarterback, but I don't know what to expect from them. The Broncos are a good competitive team, but they were 5-11 this past year. You get the Seahawks in that division. You get a 49ers team that there's no chance they're going to be as banged up as they were last year. The Arizona Cardinals are a 500 team from last year. What was the number?
10.5.
I'll go over. because of the extra game.
Yeah.
But I'm more, I would put more money on the first opportunity, the Titans, than I would the Rams, just because the division is so difficult.
How much better do you think the Miami Dolphins are? Their number's set at 9.5 wins.
They won 10 games last year.
Yeah, but I mean, do they, if they go 9-8, that's an under.
Okay, so
are they that much better?
The Bills are the best team in the division. Sure. I believe the Patriots, who were 7-9 last year, will be a better team. Their number's 9.5.
Yeah.
I'd probably stay away from that one. I probably wouldn't bet it, but if you made me bet it, I'd probably bet the under, thinking they would win 9 games. I'm still not 100% sold on Tua.
Right, and isn't that what this bet is about? This bet is saying that Tua is not necessarily going to light the NFL on fire, therefore they're going to be middle of the pack offensively.
I would say, I don't know that my memory is great, but I would probably be willing to bet that they were a better team with Fitzpatrick than they were Tua last year.
Take some of the analysis you gave me for the Rams and then apply it to the situation for the Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals, 8.5. I'm saying under because they look like an 8-9 team or worse, but based on the rest of the division, that's going to be tough to get over to 9 wins for the Cardinals.
I think the other three teams in the division are better than them. I think the 49ers are better. I know Cap hates, you know, Kyle Shanahan. That 49ers team last year, I believe, lost 22 or 23 players to injury, all guys that would have started in some capacity or another. I think they're a middle of the pack team. Is this kind of a prove-it year for Kyler Murray, who flashed some brilliance early in the year last year? But I believe once teams kind of got a beat on who they were in the second half and they kind of pinned Murray in and forced him to play from the pocket, they had less success offensively. I would take the under.
It's also a prove-it year for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes.
I mean,
so the number's 8.5?
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about playing the under there.
Like an 8-9 season. We mentioned the Titans. If they're the team that rules the AFC South, we're both assuming then that the Colts take a step back. The Colts number's at 9.5. I don't think Wentz healthy is taking them to the playoffs. And without Wentz, they certainly are not getting there. I don't think that they get past the 9 wins. I don't think they get to 10 wins.
Is that updated with the injury taken into account? Remember, you're also going to lose their guard. They're all pro guard.
Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson. He's got the same injury. He's listed as out 5 to 12 weeks as well.
So, I can look up what the updated. I did this a couple of days ago, so I can update the other number there. How about Panthers 7.5? Do they go over that? Can they get to 8 wins? That's one to keep your eyes on.
You know me. I'm not a Sam Darnold guy. I don't love the division. I think the Saints will take a bit of a step back. I'd still go under.
Couple others to keep an eye on. Kansas City, I think, goes over 13.5. The Raiders is at 7.
13.5 is a big number.
I think Gruden and the Raiders, I think they're terrible. So I think 6-11 for them. I would look at the under there. The Chargers, the over, the 9.5, and then the Bears.
The over 9.5 for the Chargers?
Well, look at that division. It's going to be Kansas City and the Los Angeles Chargers. That's all you got.
I wouldn't trust Denver or Las Vegas. But I would play, if I was to play it, I'd probably play the under.
And the Chicago Bears, 7.5. I think they go over.
I have them at 8-9 or 9-8, so I would put a little bit of money on them going over 7.5.
Right.
I liked kind of the two that I liked most, I think, were the Cardinals under and the Titans over.
Yeah.
Those were two at the top of my list of the ones that I think I would bet.
We're going to talk to Michael Wilbon coming up.
Yes, I know he's got Bears thoughts.
Yeah.
I know he's got Cubs thoughts, but most importantly, I know he's got Bulls thoughts.
Awesome. Michael Wilbon next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native, Michael Wilbon. host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
What's better than a Wednesday with Wilbon? A Wednesday with Michael Wilbon in studio. Michael in studio, and he's brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. Mike, welcome, and thank you for showing up in person here today.
I'm happy to. Gets me out of the house where I'm chained to my desk, happily, writing. We've talked about it before. I won't go full promotional on you. book that it's Chris Paul's book. I'm the editor.
Okay,
and
how
I'm
long?
Proud like, to be the editor. I'm by the happy way, he selected me for this.
Say hello to Chris Black. He's in for
know,
Sylvie.
I just
Michael.
Say hello to Chris.
Sylvie is celebrating. He and his lovely wife Allie are. I believe they're celebrating their 9th wedding anniversary.
That's so great. Congratulations.
He wanted to spend
to
time
Mark
with her,
and Allie. That's
not
great.
With me on
and
his
not
anniversary.
With me.
Yeah. But when you're writing a book like this, I mean, I'm thinking you're locking yourself in your room and you're like pulling the shades and you don't come out for 20 straight hours.
Well, there you go.
Is that how you do
there,
it?
There you have it.
No?
Yes, I'm serious. 35 days in a row. There's been more days where it was just great to hear. I've known Chris Paul half his life, since he was 18 years old. He's 35, 36 now. But, you know, it's different to know in depth what people have experienced and yeah. why they are who they are. And that's part of Chris's mission. It's not a book that chronicles the wonderful season that just ended. It is not that.
Will it include the newest contract, which will push him up over $445 million over the course of his
whatever
career?
Whatever it is, it'll put him like half of Steph Curry.
Yeah. Well, that's
but,
true.
But it's, these are good amounts.
Isn't that great, though, that like you can play in a sport where, and again, it'll be like $450 million when he reaches 40 in the end of this year. Like a half a bill. He's going to earn, and I mean, when you factor in his endorsements and everything, I'm sure he is at a half a bill.
Yes, it is. And it's also... Look, I've been covering sports, period, for 40 years, but I've been covering the NBA closer than everything else for the last 20. And I know the characters pretty well. And there are a few people who fascinate me for the right reasons as much as Chris Paul and all that he's done. And I just think he'll be one of these people that we'll be talking about for different reasons in 10 years or 20 years. When remember, he's 35. He's a baby in terms of real life stuff. And I like to say to him all the time, I say it to him, I say, dude, you're preparing yourself for something you don't know yet. You can't anticipate yet. And at first he would just say, shut up, stop it. I play basketball. I've had a great life. And I'm like, No. There's something else coming. I don't know what else is coming. I don't know if it's life and politics or if he likes that, or public service, I should say, or it could be anything. It could be very private. But he's a fascinating guy, a bright man, compelling figure in sports, and I'm happy it has hell for him no matter how much money he makes.
Is there another level for the Suns to take, another step?
I hope so. But it's
next season?
It's hard for anybody to take that last step. When you're leading 2-0 in the finals, you've gone almost as far as you can go. And of course, and Tommy knows this, when you've been close on teams and you've been close with teams and you come back with those guys, you're expecting them to stretch that toe across the finish line first.
Yeah.
Is there more? I hope.
Was there any surprise that he re-upped with the Suns?
No. I'm not saying it was automatic. I'm not, and I didn't ask him.
Right.
I mean, I haven't talked to Chris in a couple weeks. I wasn't about to bother Chris. We had done our work together in our project that we're doing, his project. But I wasn't about to bother him during the finals to say, you know, can we have a half an hour to talk about the prologue or... What are you going to do next year? That would have just been
Well, what a
unfair
setup he's got. Right. I mean, Monty's a great coach. Booker is one of the best young players in the game.
Aiden, one of the best young players.
Yeah, Aiden.
Wait till Aiden is the guy to me who next year is just going to... Aiden's going to see film of himself, talk to people, hear people, realize what he did when he had things like 22 points and 18 rebounds. And Aiden's going to say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. And you know, you've seen this. You've seen guys walk in a rookie or second year... And they're starting to put it together, and all of a sudden, one day, oh my God!
You can't tell me either, both of you guys. You can't tell me his game wasn't negatively affected by having to. Part of his job in that series was to try to slow down the most athletic 7-foot guy in the league.
That's right.
Yeah. When he was on the court, he was a difference maker. The problem was, as the finals went on, he had a hard time staying out of foul trouble.
And
that's when the Bucks took off.
And this is where the Suns weren't quite. Physically a championship team. They're small.
Yeah.
Now, so they went out and got JaVale McGee. I don't know who else might be on tap. So people say, somebody said to me yesterday, well, that doesn't matter. JaVale McGee can only give you 10 or 12 minutes a game. That's the point, dope. JaVale McGee can give you the 10 or 12 minutes a game so that Ayton doesn't have to in foul trouble or get himself there, or he's tired and he's leaning and he's reaching. That's the point of the 10 to 12 minutes for JaVale McGee. But was it a total surprise? I mean, I wasn't shocked. I thought, I don't know how much interest LeBron had in Chris Paul. I would think a lot, given they just signed Carmelo Anthony, and that's part of that whole brotherhood.
Say he certainly fit in the age, you know, category for the Lakers.
And but once they got Russell Westbrook, you're not going to get Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. No. That'd be insane. It'd be insane for Chris to want to join that. So once what Russ was going to L.A. in that trade, Chris Paul was most likely to me, not most likely to me, he was definitely at that point staying in Phoenix because he brought this. Reminder, Phoenix Suns a year ago, out of bubble, not in playoffs. Phoenix Suns today, finalist.
Yeah.
Is it going to be easy with Denver coming back with Jamal Murray and LeBron and Anthony Davis perhaps being healthy? I don't know about the Lakers being healthy with everybody being 100 years old. But, you know, there are other teams in the West. How is Dallas going to get better and how much so?
There seems Utah. To be, in the Western Conference, with the Lakers and the age that they have on their roster, and same with Golden State, there seems to be like a group of teams, Dallas, Denver, Phoenix, Utah, all led by young, talented players. I don't know how LeBron and the Lakers fit into that going forward.
I'm with you. I don't. I think that's the fascination of the season. The initial fascination of the season is because Phoenix is not going to be anybody's in Vegas favorite,
right?
I mean, so we're not talking about that kind of thing like the Lakers were this year. You know, how many games will the Lakers win? How quickly will they win the championship? I mean, that storyline is not available. The storyline that is available is the one you just outlined, which is, all right, we got all these teams in the West led by the Lucas and Devin Bookers in addition to Chris, and obviously Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
And you just outlined that group of young players. So what's the deal? How can LeBron and the senior citizens navigate that successfully? I don't know. I really don't. I have my doubts.
Well, before we get to what happened with the Bulls, and we talked to you briefly about that yesterday, what has kind of piqued your interest with what's transpired the last couple of days in the NBA? Is it what the Knicks have done?
No.
What the Heat have done?
A little.
What has got you kind of
what
thinking?
The Bulls are trying to do.
Is that the top
story? Yeah, and it's not just
story?
Me being local yokel. I mean, you know, I talked to Kendrick Perkins yesterday. He says he thinks the Bulls are a top five team in the West, in the East. I mean, you know,
that makes them relevant.
That makes them relevant. They haven't been relevant since 2016-17 when they had the team with Dwayne Wade and Rondo. That's been, you know, that's 4 or 5 years is a long time in the NBA to be irrelevant, and the Bulls have been that. So I don't know that the pieces fit. I've been reading and listening to some people who think that DeMar DeRozan is an absolute awful, terrible non-fit for what the Bulls are trying to do offensively. I've heard that point of view. Part of me's thought that. Like, he shoots like 21% from three.
Yeah,
he doesn't even try.
He's like the best 6'10 and under player in basketball who doesn't even attempt a three-point shot. Doesn't even attempt it. And so what does that mean? And does Billy Donovan have a plan? I'm sure he does, or he will have one for that. Because otherwise, I looked up the other Bulls last night. The Bulls now have, they got a posse of capable three-pointers. Guys at 40% at least this past year in their lives, or the last 2 years, or two out of three. So even the guys you brought in, so Vucevic, his best year, I think he was 40 or right at 40. Zach LaVine's best year, 42, I think.
Yeah.
They got guys all over the place except for Caruso. I mean, they got people who
Caruso
are
shot 40% from behind the
40% last
Lonzo
year.
Lonzo has improved.
Lonzo shot 38.7.
So
now you got like, I mean, the kid, Patrick Williams, shot 39. And all his numbers, when you look at his numbers separately, he shot 48% overall. I mean, Patrick Williams had a really good year for a team that didn't matter. I get that. But I'm not going to try to take away from him and what he's done. So I'm intrigued by the Bulls. I'm not going to sit here and start predicting what place they'll be in and go one loss like we do in the NFL schedule. But I'm interested in what they're doing.
We'll build on this conversation when we come back. More with Michael Wilbon. He's in studio with us talking Bulls basketball. That's next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and through all the journeys ahead, you know what card to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Our conversation with Mike Wilbon continues. He's in studio with it. I hear also that you're being honored Friday.
I am. I'm being honored.
You're honored all the time.
Well, this is by my high school.
Rightfully so.
St. Ignatius College Prep, West Roosevelt Road. Thank you very much. 1076 West Roosevelt Road in the city. So I'm being honored. St. Ignatius is the oldest continuous high school in the city. Right? 150 years old. It was 150 last year. And we would have celebrated that 150th anniversary last year, but nobody got to celebrate anything last year. But the Tolton Society specifically, Augustus Tolton, the first acknowledged African-American Roman Catholic priest. And so this is, we're talking Jesuit education here, Tommy.
Yes, of course. Remember, I'm a Boston College
grad. I know you are. That's why I've said it the way I did. So I'm being honored by the Tolton Society in St.
Awesome.
Ignatius Friday evening. We have a big dinner, and allegedly people are coming that I once knew like 150 years ago in high school.
Yeah.
And so I am, you know, thrilled to be part of this and for St. Ignatius to be doing this, you know, for me. And so I'm here. So it's not just chain myself to my desk, which it largely is. It's to get away from Tony.
Yeah.
I don't have to, even though he's in the attic, you know, 600 miles away. So I can get away from Tony and be here and literally work on the book. Yeah, but do some other things, a couple other things. For 5 weeks, I have not been in Chicago straight 5 weeks since high school.
Wow.
Since St. Ignatius, wow. Since I went to Northwestern. Okay, so maybe, no, not in the summers, because I went to D.C. and I went to Evans. So this is the first time since I was a teenager that I've been in Chicago this long continuously.
And so far, enjoying being back?
When you have six straight days in the 70s with sunshine and sitting outside.
You realize that this was actually San Diego. This isn't Chicago.
This is great.
Yeah.
How great is this? This is when people look at me and say, like, I don't know. I run into all kinds of people who are coming for the first time in a couple of years for the obvious reason why. And they're like, oh, my God, this is the best summertime place in the world. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's the best summertime city in America. And when you get this,
yeah,
it just underscores it. So,
Chris, did you see Mike at Lollapalooza? Did you notice that he was out there?
I was on the streets talking to people, and I was like, oh, there's Wilbon. All right, I'll just let him be.
No, you didn't see me there. I got here Thursday night as people were coming in for Lollapalooza. And I was like, whoa, this is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I was coming. I had to be here now no matter what. Lollapalooza. Because, you know, that wasn't a thing. even my early years in Washington, I come back for a week vacation to stay with my parents. That wasn't a thing. It was oh, my God, what did we do when we ate like crazy in Grant Park?
Taste of Chicago,
yeah.
The Taste, man. It was the Taste. It wasn't Lollapalooza.
Great.
Is the Taste still going on?
No,
they got rid of it
that in favor of music stuff.
Yeah, remember a couple of years ago they pared it down to like 3 days.
It was
over a weekend.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same.
In the 90s, in the heyday of Taste of Chicago, that was like two full weeks of just gluttony.
Well, I don't want to disappoint you and say, wait a minute, the 80s.
Well, yeah, but
I'm messing
with you.
80s, not, it was you ate every meal there. At least I tried to.
And by the way, wasn't this the last year that Chicago has the contract with Lala?
Yeah,
it is. So that may be going away as well.
Could be. Yeah.
As a parent.
That's a good thing.
I hope so.
So Waddle's daughter wasn't going to go.
Yes.
My
17-year-old told my wife and I 2 weeks ago that she wasn't going to go. And I was like, yes, that's a win. That's a 2021 victory. A week later, without my knowledge, she reversed course and decided she was going to go. So she went three straight days. Now, she was fine and everything went okay. But like for a parent, that's Just be glad that Matthew's of the
age
that
he's only turning 14.
He ain't here. He's not interested in
Lala. Soon enough.
He'll want to go. Yeah, we'll ban him from that.
Yes.
I'm good at banning
that would be a good idea is to ban him from Lala. Yes, no question about it. All right, so back to the what has gone on with the NBA and with the Chicago Bulls. And we talked to you a little bit about this yesterday. Are you most excited about the fact that this team is relevant for the upcoming season? Are you more excited that now you have a team that is proactive and has a group of pieces that can be moved? There are just a lot more options for this front office going forward if they choose to.
Well, they've created those options in a short time. I mean, they didn't have a lot. It's not like they had a couple of, you know, top three picks to work
right.
with.
They so they've got to do it
this.
Differently.
Arturis and Mark have been. So they got to do it differently, and they are doing it, and they're not saying we can't do it. To answer the question specifically, I'm excited to have a relevant team. I'm excited for me, it's a compelling team, because for me as a local, I want to see how these people mesh. I covered Billy Donovan in college. I know Billy half his life. And so, more than half his life. And so, I'm excited, and I think Billy Donovan's a good coach, and I want to see how he can work with this group. You know, is DeMar DeRozan a complete non-fit or no? Can this coaching staff work with this group and figure out how to do that? Can this coaching staff get something more out of, dare I say it, Lauri Markkanen? More. He appears to have every skill and attribute.
Are you less exasperated today about Lauri Markkanen, or are you still exasperated?
I'm less exasperated.
Okay.
Yesterday,
you're just the emotion.
That
had
was
to
like
come
live
through.
Talking to Sylvie in the moment. Yeah. Deals are being made.
You know what it sounded like, Chris? It sounded like a guy who had been locked in his apartment writing for like 10 straight hours. And then
13
saw
hours a day typing away.
Then excited him, and then like all the emotions came.
That's what happened. But still, though, I mean, I didn't make up the circumstances. There was an opening night. I don't know if it was his second year or his third year, because he's played 4 years now, right? So his second year or third year, and he had 30 and 20.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, 30 and 20. You get 30 and 20.
We were
you're
excited.
Looking at these are big dude numbers.
Yeah.
These are all-star player numbers.
Yeah.
And then, like, he had his next 20-point game in March.
Well, I think
might be exaggerating.
Chris brought up a good point yesterday. Like, if, in fact, he's still with this team, which is probably unlikely, right, going into next year, however likely it is, maybe the role that he'll be asked to play as, you know, a guy sitting in the corner waiting for the ball and popping threes, maybe that's something he will throw.
Well,
three
Michael,
and D
the
guy.
Name, the name that I never get out of my head when I look at Markkanen is Duncan Robinson is a big-time player for the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Why can't Lowry do that?
Because he doesn't seem to have that kind of motor. Yeah. Or that kind of interest. You know, you see Duncan Robinson get angry. You see Duncan Robinson demand the ball, pump a fist. When have you seen Lauri Markkanen do that? And by the way, I mean, personality, people talk about talent. Personality is as much a part of your talent profile as just about anything else. We've seen players with incredible skill sets who can't make it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's not that guy. I hope he's a guy who we now look at going forward, Tommy, instead of, might he be going? Might he just be the guy? Might he be a guy who can go out and get you? Forget 30 and 20. Can he get you 18 and 9 on a bunch of nights? Can he be Duncan? Yes, he can. He's 7 feet tall. He's not 6'8". Lauri Markkanen is 7 feet tall. He's listed as that even. So I look at a guy who's got all those physical attributes, and I just get crazy when he goes 5 points, three rebounds, and four fouls like 3 out of 5 nights.
All right, we got to take a break, but we'll build on that, okay? You can stay, right?
Okay.
Do you have nothing to do. Okay.
Just my desk and the chain is waiting.
I'm just going to say, like, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. I just want to make sure we're not holding you away from something. All right, more with Michael Wilbon, more Bulls conversation. Also want to get your thoughts on what the Cubs have done recently as well. That's all in 2 minutes.
Give me that crying towel.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.